Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're into the summer months here, discussing all things crab cake. About to do the Maryland Crab Cake Tour the entire month of August. Mahler's convinced that by like day 12, by the time I hit the PG County in the DC suburbs, I will never want another crab cake the rest of my life. I don't think that's true, Don, because the State Fair crab cake was very different than the G&M crab cake or the Fadley's crab cake or any other crab. They're going to be different every day. That's what I'm looking for here, man.
It's going to be a lot of crab cakes. People all over the state, what am I talking about, all over the region, all over the nation, are going to be following this tour, and we're going to see how many crab cakes a person can eat in 30 days.
I'm more interested in the beer, to be honest with you.
You'll have that too, right?
You know, big appreciation to our friends at Wise Markets for these wise conversations and putting us on the road where they have promised me Maryland crab meat in Western Maryland. Don, we get a lot of guests around here, and we talk about guns, we talk about violence, we talk about the Orioles, we talk about all sorts of things, but boy, there's nothing that's been quite like healthcare in this country, right? Like, I literally put up a status 30 seconds before this segment looking for a free COVID test so that I can travel this week. And I think the state of healthcare and, you know, my wife's leukemia journey, and I've talked a lot about that. But anytime we can learn more about healthcare on this program, we like to do that.
Absolutely. And I am looking forward to going to school today with Mark Bloom, America's Agenda, the executive director. And I want to say, Mark, there's probably not a subject that people care more about in the United States of America than the cost of prescription drugs. And there's probably not a subject that people know less about. So we're going to hope you can simplify it for us and the audience, and we'll try to make sense of it and talk about this thing called a reverse auction that you and America's Agenda is, you know, very much involved in. But first of all, why is the whole topic of prescription drugs so complicated in the United States of America?
It's so complicated, and thanks. It's good to be with you guys. This is fun, and I'll do my best to simplify what is understandably a really complicated subject. It's really complicated because when you buy anything, you make an informed decision. You know what you want, you know what its attributes are, and you know what the price is. When you're buying drugs, or when a health plan is buying a formulary of drugs for the members of that health plan, you don't know exactly what you're buying. You don't know what its attributes are. But the worst problem is you don't know what the costs are. Costs are extremely complex. Part of that is because the federal government, in its wisdom, has clouded things up by regulating prices and then mandating federal statutory mandates of rebates, which means you pay a price and then you automatically get a discount from that price. That's just the beginning of the complications. The intermediaries in that market, middlemen, have come through to put their own pricing on top of the federally mandated prices, which are imposed upon manufacturers. So you get this long supply chain with middlemen all along it, adding their own prices and complications. At the end of the day, you're the consumer. You might know what you're going to pay out of pocket, what your copay is, but you don't have a clue what the price is of what you're buying.
Well, Mark, I can promise you, my wife's a two-time leukemia survivor, right? So over at Johns Hopkins, and I would see the swaths of the bills that came the first time she survived, and the second time it was much harder to survive. But I mean, on the inside, witnessing other cancer patients, that my wife had better insurance. My wife worked for Verizon. She's been there 30 years. She's been diabetic since she was 19. So she needed great insurance. She had great insurance. And we were blessed in that way. She's alive. She's well. Some folks didn't make it. Some folks made it a much more difficult way. But we were astonished to see that, like, a patch that would stop a woman in the next room from vomiting, that was really helping my wife during her cancer treatment, that this patch was $150 a piece. And my wife had it as part of her insurance. And the woman in the next room didn't and needed it and couldn't get it and couldn't afford it. We were just blown away at the different level. And that's just A and B. I'm talking about there's a whole jungle of ideas and thoughts out there about insurances and different plans and copays and all of this stuff. But I'm talking about a woman dying in the next bed who could that my wife said, take that patch and give it to my next door neighbor because she can't afford it. And I have too many and I feel good right now. We're giving away drugs in Hopkins, in the hallways. It's insane.
It's insane and it's shameful. In the wealthiest country in the history of mankind, that everybody doesn't have access to affordable care. That in fact, we can afford to provide and we've got the technology to provide it. That's a sad thing. But drugs are actually the most complicated and most mind-boggling part of that, the price of drugs, because every customer who walks into a pharmacist to buy drugs at the counter is in fact paying a different price out of pocket. The pharmacist has a different price based on which PBM.
What's a PBM?
A PBM is a pharmacy benefit manager. Those are middlemen in the drug supply chain. Think of it this way. You have insurance through your employer. Let's assume you do. In Maryland, let's say you're a state employee, maybe a member of a union, and you have an insurance plan to cover your medical costs, and you have a PBM plan to cover your drug prices. The PBM, the pharmacy benefit manager, basically is negotiating prices or costs from the manufacturer of the drug. And then he's reselling those drugs in two directions. He's selling the drugs to the pharmacy at some negotiated amount. And each PBM will be paying, reimbursing the pharmacist a different amount. And each member of each health plan that goes to that pharmacy will be paying a different amount. It's the amount that's been set by the plan in a negotiation with the PBM. But then the PBM is also selling the drugs or setting the prices in its contract for the health plan. So the state employee's health plan has a price for drugs at which they're accessing it, and that PBM has negotiated the health plan. They've also bought from the manufacturer and negotiated that price with the pharmacy. So they're actually in a position where they're making money out of the middle of both of those transactions. But you know what? Spread pricing is common throughout the country, where the PBM is actually making money by setting differential prices for the same drug, same transaction between the pharmacy and the health plan. So they're making a spread on the difference in prices. It is set with the pharmacist and the health plan too. So it's a perfect storm in economics, this kind of marketplace is called an arbitrage marketplace. That's where you don't really know the prices of what you're buying. A middleman knows the price of the supplier and negotiates the price he can sell to the purchaser.
Well, this kind of reminds me of like, we're all staying in the Marriott and we all got a different price in the hotel, or we're all on the airplane and all the seats are the same, especially on Southwest Airlines, but I paid $39 because he got in last week and I paid $219 because I got in yesterday. And we become accustomed to that. Like they call it flexible pricing, like the Orioles, you know, buy a ticket now, it's $20, buy a ticket later, it might be $10, but you know, we've gotten used to that.
That's right.
But
that's
right. Trucks shouldn't be that way.
That's not what's going on here though. That's not what's going on here. The PBM is basically, its proposition is this. We will buy from manufacturers at a high volume. Like we'll aggregate all you purchasers, all these different health plans, all these different people together in the PBM plan. And by getting all that volume, we'll use that to leverage a negotiated better price from the manufacturer. Okay. The problem is they don't pass through all that value. They pass through part of the value to you, a different amount to Don, a different amount to a different health plan. So everybody's paying a different price. And the PBM is keeping a large margin of the value they've gotten from volume-based purchasing for themselves. So much so that PBMs are the wealthiest and most rapidly growing in terms of wealth part of the healthcare system. Look, the healthcare system, as you pointed out, It's crazy in its complexity and its unfairness, but it is also growing more rapidly than any other sector of the economy. It's 1/5 the U.S. economy today. The fastest growing institutions in the healthcare system aren't the hospitals. They aren't insurance plans. They are PBMs. And they're doing that by diverting value they create by volume-based purchasing from manufacturers, by being middlemen, if you will, passing on some of that value, but not much of it, to purchasers, and directing most of that value into their own profit margins. Their stock prices have increased more than virtually any other institution in the healthcare sector over the last 10 years, and they continue to do so. So it's a very interesting middleman game, but the way they maintain it is by having extreme complexity about prices. I talked
before we get to the reverse auction and the RFP that the state of Maryland's put out, and you've had experience in New Jersey and cost savings of a couple billion dollars in New Jersey. We want you to walk us through that. Sure. Let me, because we said it is so complex, and we appreciate the listeners who are out there driving around now trying to make sense of it. Let me wait.
Well, we've all had a prescription filled. Yeah.
Well,
we all don't know how much it cost, and we fill it, and we're like, well, was this a $100 drug or $200? It cost me $1.50, right?
Nestor, great example. That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm about to waive all of my HIPAA rights, okay? I, like many millions of Americans, I take a statin for cholesterol called lovastatin. Okay, so let's get very specific. So the whole world knows now that Don has waived his HIPAA rights. He takes lovastatin. So I also have insurance through the Baltimore County government. Now, as Nestor said, when I go to the pharmacy, Mark, to pick up my lovastatin, I think I do pay $1.50 or whatever, because I have outstanding insurance. I mean, it's one of the good benefits of being a county employee. Now, walk me through the role, and I'm with Cigna. If you're a county employee, you're with Cigna. Walk me through how the price of lovastatin is actually set. Let's just take a specific case. Don Mueller pays $1.50, but it's not $1.50.
That's your copay.
Right.
So if you're with Cigna, Cigna has its own PBM, and it's one of the three PBMs that dominate the prescription drug marketplace. Three PBMs are the intermediaries for over 80% of all the drug transactions in America. So here's what basically happens in a nutshell. They will negotiate a price with the manufacturers.
They being the PBM for Cigna.
PBM, yeah, for Cigna, will negotiate a price with the manufacturer of each drug in the formulary it's providing to you as a county employee. They'll negotiate those prices. They will negotiate a rebate from those prices. That's a discount from those prices. Some of which they will pass on to your county health plan. Some of which they won't. The amount they pass through of that rebate depends on how good a negotiator your health plan is and how much leverage they have. But
on the county side, you mean, more effective someone who worked for me as county executive in the budget office was assigned that responsibility. And
the deal
depending on their effectiveness can have a real impact on the county budget.
Huge impact on the county budget. Beyond that, though, the rebate, the price of the drugs, which is, those are list prices, those are set, but they're negotiating the rebates. But beyond that, what your county executive and his consultants who are there may or may not realize, that pass-through of the rebate is only one of the many ways that the PBM takes revenues out of that transaction. In other words, they have many ways of diverting savings that they've created in their volume-based purchasing in the manufacturer to themselves. One is they don't pass through all the rebates. Let me suggest a few others. They charge administrative fees. They charge clinical fees, which depends what they are, but they can vary. But ostensibly, they're all for helping you and other patients in your plan manage their drug spend better. They may prohibit you from using a drug until you've gone through several other drugs, a kind of a step therapy. That's one technique. And they'll charge for administering that kind of a program. In addition, there are numerous other kinds of fees. I call them games PBMs play. I just want to say, I'm not suggesting anything's illegal or wrongful here. What I'm suggesting is, in a marketplace where you don't know the price of what you're buying, and price is extremely complex, The middleman who understands all that has lots of ways they can impose fees, or they can manipulate transactions to move money into their own bank accounts.
Well, Mark, so, part of this is it costs the Mueller $1.50 to get his drugs. What does he care? You know what I mean? Like my mom, she passed away a few years. She was 98 years old. She was on all sorts of stuff. I showed up and, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, and gave him the $5 for this and the $2 for that. And I often wondered, like, what does this albuterol cost? I looked it up once. It was a $400 little thing that my mother went through once a month. Literally, it cost her $5. But I never knew what it cost. No one ever knows what their drugs cost.
One reason why Don might care and folks that are working there might care is because they're paying premiums on their insurance plan.
Correct.
And all the money that goes into paying for the drugs and for their health insurance is not going into their wages. And
say the price of health insurance is going up. This is where the money is really going.
I'm going to say a little more. The price of health insurance is going up 4 to 6 times faster than your wages are. That means over time, your wages are getting squashed. Your lifestyle is getting squashed. Improvements in the lives of you and your families are getting squashed by the ballooning amount of your compensation that's being spent on healthcare.
Okay. Yeah. So now you've got me. Right. I feel like I'm in that Tom Cruise movie, you know, where you had me at hello. So you've got me convinced now that there has to be a better way to skin this cat. So one of the better ways, it seems to me, that America's agenda is promoting, and I see that the state of Maryland has put out an RFP, is a little thing called a reverse auction. So if we haven't confused our listeners enough, let's see if we can really confound them and tell us what a reverse auction is and why it will be better, not only for the state, but for state employees, for example.
Well, here's the key. What contract you have with the PBM, that is, what kind of pricing you're going to pay for the drugs in the formulary, will affect how much you pay at the pharmacy counter. And I hope it's only $1.50 or $5, but often it's much more than that. And it'll also determine how much you're paying in healthcare premiums, which is to say, how much salary you're going to earn. The opportunity to make a decision about which PBM you're going to choose and which and what that contract is going to look like is made once every 3 years on average. Sometimes it's every 5 years when your health plan decides to go out and pick a PBM, contract with a PBM. That's the RFP for a PBM. It's called a request for proposals from an RFP. Now, typically, here's how it works. It's so complicated that friend of yours who used to work for you is actually, he's officially administering the RFP, but it's actually being done by a consultant who's supposed to understand all this. They'll put out an RFP. Each PBM is going to respond to that RFP, which is in general terms, we want these drugs. We want very, very general high-level RFP. Each one is going to come back with a different proposal, a different kind of pricing. Very, very complex algorithms for determining pricings of different classifications of drugs. There'll be hundreds, even thousands of drugs in that formulary. Each PBM will actually come with a different formulary. So your employee and his consultants are sitting there looking at all these different, very complex pricing proposals, very different formularies, very different contract terms, and asked to choose which one is the best deal for the state. It's a complex problem. And without pretty sophisticated big data analytic technology tools, it can't be done, except your employees and their consultants usually don't have those tools. And so generally, what do? They stick with the PBM they got because they know them and they're comfortable with them, no matter how much they are paying or how much value they may be losing.
That has been my experience.
95% of all PBM contracts are renewed with the incumbent. Let me tell you a quick story.
So nothing ever changes.
Nothing ever changes. And that means if you're in and you know you're going to stay in and you know your customer doesn't really understand pricing, what are you going to do? It's not criminal, but it's rational if you're trying to maximize.
Charge as much as you can get away with.
You get as much as you can. That's exactly right. And you know what? You never know how much you're losing. It's very common for a purchaser, it might be your employee, to come back and say, we had 75% rebate pass-through before. I just negotiated 95% rebate pass-through, 20% improvement. Give me a promotion. Give me more money. Give me a bonus, at least a watch. That's what's being said. And that happens contract after contract. But if you're sitting in Baltimore County or if in the state of Maryland, you might notice that despite those improvements and rebate pass-throughs, the price of drugs keeps on going up at the counter and to the state. What happened? What happened was the rebate, keeping the rebate, was an old game of PBMs. They're remarkably creative. They keep on year after year developing new ways to retain earnings. The rebate was a decade ago's main game. Most really good negotiators for commercial accounts already have 100% pass-through of rebates, but the PBMs are still taking their money through other non-transparent, opaque tricks. We could name a bunch of them. I just want to name the most recent year of tricks. Most of the big PBMs, your Cigna has what's called a GPO. We won't have to even talk what a GPO is, but it's an offshore or a third-party entity that they buy drugs through. They're offshore because they can avoid taxes in the United States, but they also can further
compete. Popular theme amongst people flying to the moon.
You've got it. You got it right. So each of the major PBMs has developed a GPO. Two of the big three have them offshore. Optum Rx's is in Dublin. Another PBM has it in Switzerland.
Let me guess, the Caymans.
The Caymans is not on yet.
Oh, soon though. It is coming there soon.
Yeah. Actually, Optum Rx doesn't have a GPO, but it has an entity that acts like a GPO. They say it's not a GPO, but it is headquartered. It's headquartered in Dublin. So these are new entities. There are new ways to confuse pricing. So the price you negotiate isn't actually the price you get. So in a nutshell, overall, you've got this extremely complex pricing algorithm, a system of multiple middlemen that are manipulated by the PBM, organized by the PBM to confuse you as a purchaser, and they're doing a darn good job of it. So what does the reverse auction do? It says, first of all, let's do this. Instead of choosing between several different PBM contracts, let's have the purchaser, say the state of Maryland or Baltimore County, write its own best-in-class contract. You say the drugs you want in your formulary. You define the pricing terms. You put it out there, and what you're going to say is, I'm inviting PBMs to come and bid on the terms of my contract rather than expect—
Sort of price line.
Yeah, well, you're basically describing what you want to buy.
Right. How do I come up— Mark, this is so fascinating. We're probably going to have to have you back on so we can follow up.
Yeah.
How do I know? Let's focus again on Baltimore County. How do I know what drugs to include in my formula? Is that because I get a printout from Cigna of every prescription that every employee's had?
No, that's really a clinical decision. It may include what you've been using. That would be called an open formulary, where you try to have the broadest possible inclusion of what people are using or want to use. Or you may have a narrower formulary, which is designed to provide the benefits of prescription drugs, but to drive you to purchasing the lowest cost options in the various drug classes. So you may have a broad or a narrow formulary. That's a benefits design. And appropriately, you should be making that decision with your pharmacy consultants. That you should be making. But the point is that without a reverse auction, typically each PBM is coming with the formulary design it wants. It'll say it's clinically best for your population, but you know what? They're profit-making entities. It's going to be the highest profit for that particular PBM, and they have different assets to maximize profits. If you're CVS Caremark, you own the CVS drug chain, don't you? So you're going to want to maximize the profits you can extract from your retail front exposure to purchasers. If you are Optum Rx, you've got a different asset. If you're CVS Caremark, you've got a different asset. But the point is, you're asked to choose between their contracts. We start out by saying you're going to write your own contract. But then what happens? You recruit state-of-the-art big data analytics technology, and you put your contract, you digitalize it and put it into that program in a way that when PBMs bid for your business to fulfill the needs of your population, your formulary with your pricing terms, you can project out immediately. Right now, it's possible it can be done in an hour for health plans with thousands of participants and millions of drug transactions per year, what it will actually cost the state. That's pretty
I'm fascinated, Mark. It sounded to me, correct me if I'm wrong, because again, this when you have a little bit of information, you become dangerous. It looked to me that as if county folks or state folks under your proposal and the integration of technology could be sitting at a computer screen or at a whiteboard with the computer screen projected, and I can be watching this auction take place, and that I can greatly shorten the whole time that the process takes. I mean, that appealed to me. Is that an accurate description?
It's accurate. Typically, it takes a state or a public entity, even a corporation, 6 months to a year to go through an RFP contracting process. This can be done. The whole reverse auction can be run in a matter of about 10 weeks from design of the contract that you're taking to market through actually conducting the reverse auction. So if you have multiple rounds of that reverse auction, it happens with a round happening every couple of weeks. Now, that's lightning fast in drug term, and I'll tell you why it takes that long. When they make their complex bids, within 1 hour, if you've got state-of-the-art technology, you can actually project out the cost of that bid to whoever's paying for it, the state, Baltimore County, for example, your company. You can project that out. But here's the cool thing. You will show all the bidders what the cost of their competitors' bids were. That's never happened before. That's meaningful transparency.
So this is where I know what Don paid for the seat in the front of the plane, right?
Exactly. Or it means you're on eBay. And you know what the last guy bid, and you can underbid him if you want to get the
This is competition at its best, right? I better sharpen my pencil, because now this is real competition.
We're doing what eBay, what Amazon has done. We're actually using digital technology to create a competitive market where it didn't exist. When you walk into a department store because they have everything you want, you're not facing competition. They're the only seller.
Well, you've
now sold, you've got Amazon.
I think you've sold Nestor and me that this is indeed a better way to go. It's a better widget. I'm sure with the help of our good friends at KOP. I noticed a little throwaway line in the research, but help of our friends at KO Public Affairs and others. If I didn't misread this, you had a unanimous vote in the General Assembly to issue.
That's hard to do.
Nothing is unanimous. Our friends,
the bipartisan support was amazing. The Democratic leadership in the Assembly, a Republican governor. I want to shout out to Delegate Bonnie Cullison, who first got this idea and sponsored the legislation and recognized this is a no-brainer no matter where you are on the political spectrum. Everybody wants to save money from healthcare without cutting benefits. And that's what's happened. That's what the possibility is. It's possible here. Yep.
You were able to demonstrate, right, Mark, that in New Jersey, for example, look to me like over a 5-year period, you saved them close to $2.5 billion that you
the
could
B,
actually
billion, 2.0
billion. That's why I said 250 billion with a B.
Right.
That you could point to and say, here's money that the state saved and can now dedicate resources in other areas. I mean, this is really about good government, is it not?
Ultimately, it is about good government. If a good government is one that very carefully stewards taxpayers' dollars to assure they're spent where they bring the best value, then you have to do this. You've got to make vendors compete. It's easy to make vendors compete over widgets. They're simple. You know what the price is. You know what they do. Drugs are much more complicated. It takes technology to create a dynamically competitive marketplace. But if you do it, value that in the dark is directed into the bank accounts of PBMs and others, intermediaries, now becomes re-diverted into the pockets of the purchasers. What's wrong with that?
Well,
where do we go
from here then, Mark? I mean, in the state, now people driving around listening, they're going, all right, this is exciting. So what are the next steps if people are trying to pay attention in Maryland as to whether or not this becomes a reality? Where are we and what do we need to be paying attention to?
Well, the state has put out an RFP for the technology to run the reverse auction. Now, there's a lot of technology companies out there, but if they make a wise decision to buy technology, it may not be the cheapest technology, but it will, but it needs to be the most valuable technology. Ultimately, the savings here is not around how much you spend for the technology. It's about how much that technology is going to save you on your drug spend. That's where the money is. You should be able to spend roughly in the last year where well-designed reverse auctions have been run with capable technology, 20% of your total drug spend ought to be captured. That's a huge amount of money. We're talking tens, even hundreds of billions of dollars in Maryland. So the RFP for that technology has gone out. It's out there right now. Next step is to use the technology operator to develop that contract, that best-in-class contract, and to bring it to auction. That ought to take place within a matter of 4 months. But here's the thing. Delegate Cullison and her colleagues in the state assembly had some real wisdom. They said, if this works for us, what about the counties of Maryland? They also have PBM deals. Can't they come in? Can't local cities come in? And indeed, the legislation that was enacted did something that hasn't been done anywhere in the country before. It is really far-sighted. It said the state will be the platform for running a reverse auction, but every local county entity that has a PBM contract for drugs for its employees can participate in the state auction. Their volume matters when you're buying drugs. Being bigger is better. You'll get a cheaper price. So you can participate in the auction. That'll give us more leverage in the reverse auction. And then we'll use that technology and the transparency created in the reverse auction to drive down prices for all of us. All of us, the more that are in, the lower the prices will be for everybody. That's pretty exciting.
To my knowledge,
that hasn't been done yet. That outreach and integration of counties and local entities hasn't happened yet. That's still to happen. I hope it will. It's in your law. And I applaud you. I applaud you.
Yep. It's very exciting. Nestor's heard me say till he's tired of hearing me say it, but let's just take Baltimore County, almost 840,000 people, larger
bigger
in population.
Bigger than four states.
Four states. See, he's getting the drill. Bigger in population than four states. So there's significant savings there to be had with this. And I'm hoping, Mark, that as this thing proceeds, we can come back to you for an update on the progress, because I think this is the kind of thing that folks are really interested in.
Well, thanks a lot, Don. I just want to tell you that after you passed your legislation, you were the second after New Jersey. This year, Louisiana, Minnesota, and Colorado all passed reverse auction bills based on yours. You guys should be very proud. You
free state, man. We're a leader. We're leading. That's what I like.
And bipartisan, Nestor, unanimous. That means that Larry Hogan and Bill Ferguson and Adrian Jones and all the, they were all on the same page. So
the only other thing they're on the same page about is crab cakes, I think.
I want to say, I think our friends at KO Public Affairs did a pretty good job communicating what reverse auctions were all about.
Appreciate you, Mark. Thanks for coming on. Mark Bloom is the executive director, America's Agenda, a National Healthcare Alliance bringing together labor unions, businesses, healthcare providers, and policymakers who share a common commitment to smart policy and effective action and the mission of affordable, high-quality, readily accessible healthcare for every American. We all need healthcare. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Sometimes it gets a little wonky. Sometimes a little down into the weeds. We got to pull you out of it and try to learn auctions and stuff. Mark, I appreciate the wisdom. Thanks for coming on with us.
Love talking with you guys. It's fun.
Thank you so much.
You can find Mark Bloom at americasagenda.org. You can find Don and I anywhere a quality crab cake is served, including our friends at State Fair. I got to get over there for a little Orange Crush and a little chicken and waffles before it's all over. Don't forget our friends at Fadley's as well. Shipping crab cakes everywhere. Damie was together with me last week trying to help me find these folks over on the Eastern Shore to find out where these crustaceans come from and where they're picked and where they're sorted and how they wind up on a delicious bun or on a platter somewhere here in Baltimore, anywhere in Maryland. Guys like Mark, they're just hoping we ship them out of state to them because they can't get them anywhere else.
I'm coming to eat them.
You know, I know you are. That's why they come from. That's why we put the state flag on it. That's what we do around here. Big appreciation to our friends at Mueller & Gary Realty as well. Jeff Mueller, not just helping with rapid tests of the COVID variety, but also helping me sell my condo. If you need some great real estate experience, wisdom, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Jeff Mohler is the way to find that at Mohler and Gary Realty. On behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Mohler, I am Nestor Aparicio. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.